The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy Labor Day. Hope you're doing well on this September 2nd, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. The calendar has changed to September. College football is underway. High school football is in the heart of it. I mean, man, what a time to be alive. And hope you're doing well. Most of you are probably off today, and so if you are, hopefully you are enjoying your day off. God, it's hot outside, man. This weekend has been brutal with the heat. Looks like we're going to get a little bit of a break here in the back half of this week and maybe start to feel a little bit of fall weather, but no more of the weather report, not around here anyways. We have a lot to talk about on the show today because college football in week one was everything we wanted it to be and then some. We're going to get to that today, talk a little high school football, talk Auburn football as well as Hugh Freeze and the Tigers start 1-0. But before we do, let's bring in my guy who's with us every Monday and Friday. He's wild. He's crazy. He's your favorite, Uncle T-Bone. My man, good to see you. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Happy Labor Day, everyone. We are here laboring for you.
Yes.
Local show, instant reaction. Auburn football has kicked off last Saturday night, right there at the last day of August. Big time win over Texas A&M, Alabama A&M. They'll probably beat Texas A&M that bad too, the way they're playing. And just happy to be here and in studio. Give us a call, 334-321-9002. That's the wrong one.
Gosh.
I'm out.
Man, dang. I'm all right, you're done. Microphone's off.
334-321-1390. That was the game day on Wings.
Which you guys did a fantastic job with on Saturday, by the way.
Thank you for throwing me a lifeline there. And please remember that number and give us a call on Saturdays. We had a lot of fun. And then text hotline 334-784-1067. I don't even know where to begin. I mean,
I think it's been a
shocking turn of events. So in a lot of football games this past weekend, I did not see coming. Some I did and made some solid predictions. Others, I was just way off the base. Auburn football, Alabama football, SEC football in full swing. I mean, where do you want to begin, Jacob?
You
lead, I follow.
Yeah, I think we just go rapid fire to start the show. We'll take a look around the SEC, take a look around the country, probably for the first 30 minutes or so. Then we'll dive deep into Auburn and what they were able to do with a huge win over Alabama A&M. Huge in terms of margin of victory. I don't think the win over Alabama A&M itself is huge, but when you score 73 points for an offense that had a lot of question marks going into the season, yeah, that's huge to me. And so a 70-point win for Auburn. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show today. 70-point win. Crazy. It's unbelievable.
Just go in with that right now, right out of the chute. There's too many of those games happening in college football.
I agree.
You said it last week. Yep. I was listening. Of course, any opener in any football game in Auburn for us Auburn fans is going to move the needle. How much does a game like this move the needle? I was kind of in disagreement last week. I was like, look, you got to have these games. You got to bail out these other programs and help build them up. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a better way to do that, by the way. And you know, we need tune-up games. Not everything can be like it was last night, LSU-USC, in intensity week in, week out. But, man, it wasn't just necessarily the Auburn beatdown, which I was loving seeing because you just got to see so many different people play, and I watched the whole game. It was just across the board, Ole Miss, Furman, Missouri, Murray State, Alabama, Western Kentucky, Ohio State, Akron. I mean, if you put all these scores together, Tennessee, Chattanooga. Last time Chattanooga got beat that bad, General Sherman had to occupy it. I mean, Jacob, you could put all of those games together and the average score would probably be 60 to 10.
Yeah, I would say so.
And it's just frustrating to me. And I don't know what the answer is. Maybe you do and you could give us a call. I don't know if they have to move, enhance spring and play these games like that then to raise money to have a practice spring to get ready for the regular season,
sure,
which is just the big boy league, which we clearly all seeing it going to. I don't know what the answer is, but, you know, look, I'm glad Auburn won. I'm glad Auburn took care of business, but and they got a lot to work on, but, man, I'm going to be way more interested in this game against California than I was Alabama A&M.
And, you know,
and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer.
No, and I'm 100% in agreement with you. And there's a lot to take away from the game on Saturday. I've talked about dumping one of these games, picking up a high-level non-conference game like an LSU-USC, like a Texas A&M Notre Dame, something like that. I mean, yeah, it's Auburn's playing Cal, but make it another one. Pick up another one. Drop another of those games. Pick up the extra conference game, which I think we all agree is going to happen to go from 8 games to 9 games. And I understand that Alabama A&M, they use the money from playing Auburn to keep the doors open, to let them play right. football, to fund everything that they do. But at what point do we have to kind of move out of this? And I hate to be that way. I do. It's just, at what point can we not rely on the big-time programs to fund the smaller programs? There's other ways to do it. I like what you said. Do something in the spring or something like
Instead
that.
Instead of having like this full-blown spring practice, you know, set up 2 or 3 exhibition games for these teams,
yeah,
like Alabama A&M. Keep them in state, Alabama State. You know, Mississippi does it with Jackson State, and you know, I guarantee you, if you think, you know, it's a revenue and the crowd at Auburn for this game was awesome.
Yeah, and Freeze has mentioned it numerous times.
It was awesome. I mean, for an Alabama A&M,
yeah,
in the past, I don't think you would have seen a full house like you did. I was not at the game, full disclosure. I was at home, but I was shocked what I saw on TV with that crowd. It was an amazing experience. Good job, Auburn fans. But here are just a few of the scores from some of these games around the country. On Thursday night, Missouri 51, Murray State 0. They could have scored 100. Okay? I mean, really, Utah 49, Southern Utah 0. They could have scored 100. Kansas 48, Lindenwood 3. I mean, what is that, some type of state prison that they played out in Kansas? You know, Georgia 34, Clemson 3. They shouldn't even have to play Clemson.
Oh, God.
I mean, Ohio State 52, uh-oh, Akron 6. I mean, the only game in here, I mean, Alabama drubbing Western Kentucky 63-0. Ole Miss 76, Furman 0. Jacob, they could have scored 176.
They could have, but I will push back just a hair, and something that Christian Griffin talks about when he's in here is, and we've had this conversation too, there is a little bit of leveling out with competition, right? Look at Oregon in their game,
right,
when they played Idaho. That was a 10-point win, 24-14 over Idaho, the number 3 team in the country. Oregon, what are we doing, right? Look at Michigan, only beating Fresno State by 20, and that was a game deep into the second half. I mean, there were a couple of these games. UNLV went on the road and beat Houston, and beat them bad, too. Like, there were a couple of these games, Uncle T, where it was a little bit closer than some of these schools were wanting.
UNLV is, I mean, a major program. I mean, they're you know, they can qualify to make the college football playoff, right? Is that FCS or FBS? I always
forget. Still FBS. They're just not Power okay. 4. Houston is, though. Houston's a Big 12 team.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. On the flip side of that, Iowa 40, Illinois State 0. I mean, when Iowa scores 40 points on someone, that's a bad football program.
How about South Carolina having to escape against Old Dominion? I mean, games
right.
like that, I mean, that yeah. goes a little bit against what you're talking
yeah,
about a little
yeah, I
bit.
I don't know.
But
maybe
there are still situations like that. I mean, Auburn won 73-3.
If you're up by 30 on someone at the half that's not a major football program and can qualify to make the college football playoffs, let's shorten those quarters to 10 minutes or whatever you got to do.
Which is what Auburn did on Saturday.
Yeah. And good for Auburn for doing so.
And that we actually talked to –
and I know it's disappointing because there's kids that probably never get to play that want to play.
Sure.
And that's their opportunity to do it. And I don't want to take that away from them anyway. I don't know what the answer is. But when someone's up 76-0, and it's not big-time college football at that point, in my opinion.
No, at that point it is a glorified – scrimmage, practice, whatever you want to call it, and it is what it is. But there were a lot of good games this weekend. There were a ton of good games this weekend.
There were some fantastic football games.
And I think we need to start. We'll start at home in the SEC. We'll work our way out to all of college football, talk about biggest winners, biggest losers here on the show. And again, we want to hear from you, 334-321-1390. Who was your biggest winner and biggest loser this weekend? Just looking around the SEC, other than the blowouts, okay, other than the ones that were obvious. Minton, South Carolina had to escape against Old Dominion. That was pretty depressing for them. We'll start with Georgia, who kicked things off at 11 a.m., they dominated Clemson, Uncle T-Bone, dominated Clemson. And they did it so bad, they got Dabo Swinney all fired up. They got him riled up in the post-game interview. And for a guy that refuses to change with the times of college football, it showed on the field on Saturday.
It's time for him to shut his pie hole. I mean that.
Put up or shut up.
I'm like, look, man. He has tried to suck too much oxygen out of every room he's been in with his – And what I think was so frustrating to me is, I wouldn't say Clemson had any negativity off the field heading into this game, but Georgia sure as heck did. And Kirby Smart circled the wagons. And let me tell you what, I called him out last week. And I said, there's no way he's going to sit that Trevor Etienne kid. And he did it.
He
disciplined that kid.
Yeah.
Tip him the hat to Kirby from Uncle T. And he circled the wagons. He took a beating from pundits, locally and nationally, for a good year. I mean, Doug Amos read the riot act to Kirby Smart on the Max Roundtable, and we followed in suit.
Yes.
And he took all that negative energy and just sucked it in and just threw it back at Clemson and shoved it down their gullet. And that is someone, to me, in Kirby Smart, who – is almost a master of that, and he probably learned from one of the masters, Nick Saban, in that it's like, you want to pump these guys up and hope they fall. Don't give them any kind of bulletin board material. Don't give them any kind of excuse to go in there and tell that locker room of 4 and 5 stars that the world hates them and we're going to prove them wrong. On the flip side of that, Saturday morning on ESPN, on SportsCenter, they start the entire SportsCenter off with an interview with Dabo Swinney, where they're basically just throwing him a lifeline. And he's like, no, I'm not necessarily against NIL. I'm just doing what's best for my program. We're willing to change. We're willing to pick some guys up. Nah, that's not true. That is fake news. And then on game day, they have him walking around the dome while his players are stretching, and they're all yucking it up. It's Kirk and Nick and Desmond and Dabo, and they're tell Coach I said, hey, and they're just throwing all this positive energy towards Clemson. Just trying to throw the guy a lifeline. And he just goes out there and lays one of the fattest, stinkiest, nastiest eggs on Mercedes-Benz turf I've ever seen in my entire life. What a joke.
34-3. I called Georgia winning and covering and taking it control by the end of it. I did not call for it to be a 34-3 outcome. The defense for Clemson looked solid. They played well enough to keep the Tigers in the game. But Klubnik, I'm sorry.
He's horrible.
He's not the answer. He's not the answer, and the offense looked putrid. For an offensive coordinator that's supposed to be the next great thing, the next great mind of offense in college football, the talent differential, Uncle T-Bone, it was there. It was visible. You could see it on the field. And Clemson fans are fired up, man. I've talked to many of them this weekend, and they are to the point with Dabo, like we said, put up or shut up. I mean, if you're not going to change with the times and you're not going to adjust the way that you coach and run a college football program, I think it's time, and this is not just the reaction from this game alone. This is what has been happening over the last few years for me personally, looking on the outside in. It's time for Clemson to make that change. You need to walk into Dabo Swinney's office, the athletic director, sit down and tell Dabo, change or get out.
Yeah.
I think we're getting to that point now because Clemson's name is starting to get watered down. Dabo's name is starting to get watered down. Man, this is embarrassing for them to go and get beat 34-3 by anybody in the season opener. Yes, it's Georgia, and they're a really good team. But, man, Clemson wins these types of games 5 years ago. They're not even competitive in them anymore. And they're in a conference that's so weak where they have a gimme road to the playoff, and yet it may not even be a gimme for them anymore.
Well, what was shocking to me and is that, you know, all this talk about him and how he's going to do it his way and whatever, that psychologically, that how that affects your team other than not maybe willing to go out and get more talent shouldn't be some of the clips I've seen on video after watching highlights and pointed out by the likes of Cole Kublik on the SEC Network where their offensive linemen were running into each other. Mm. That didn't have anything to do ultimately at the end with him just being refusing to change and his ego, it's my way or the highway guy, which that almost always fails nowadays, by the way.
Auburn knows that.
And they just got not only out-talented, but Kirby Smart coach circles around Dabo Swinney. I mean, he's not one of the top five coaches in college football after what I saw his team roll out and do. They were not sharp early. Klubnik had wide-open people. He overthrew it, underthrew it, yep. Penalties, delay of gains, poor blocking. I mean, just fundamentally, they weren't even close to sound in this game. I would expect, hey, yeah, okay, we got whipped because our talent is a deficit because I won't change. Maybe I'll change. Buddy, you need to change your coaching, and you need to get your team right. It doesn't have anything now as the season started with the transfer portal. He just didn't have them ready to play.
Which is insane to think from a Dabo Swinney-coached Clemson team, a guy that is a multi-time national champion, and Clemson looked horrible in the opener against Georgia. We're reacting to all of the games in week one of college football, staying in the SEC, broadening our horizons a little bit, looking around college football as well. Biggest winners and biggest losers. There's a lot of them. We'll talk about all of that and more as we're underway here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Happy Labor Day to all of you out there. Hopefully some of you have us on the boat somewhere if you're out there on the water. We're jealous, but we appreciate you having us on and joining us here on this Labor Day edition of On the Line. We were talking a lot of Georgia Clemson and how Dabo and the Tigers just got destroyed inside of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Speaking of losers, Uncle T-Bone, how about Florida?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. This game... this was bad. I mean, this was horrible for Florida, Billy Napier, the SEC. I mean, this was bad. And this was a game that I picked Florida to win straight up. And they decided, nah, we're good. Not only are we going to lose, we're going to let Miami come into our house in the swamp and hang 40 on us. How embarrassing. This was terrible.
Yeah. Cam Ward led Miami.
He looked good, didn't he?
He sure did, and he looked like he was fearless. Just rolled up into the swamp and drained it 41-17. I mean, they invented new types of surrender cobras, yeah. Florida fan on
they
Saturday.
Had Florida fans hugging cans of alcohol trying to get out of there.
That was terrible. Miami had 529 total yards in that game to Florida's 261. That's with a second-year returning starter in Graham Mertz at quarterback, the former Wisconsin transfer. And you had a one-year guy come in, and Mario Cristobal survives the loser-leave-town game of the year.
Big time.
And then Billy Napier's just going off today on his fans, and we're not worried about the guy in the basement criticizing us on social media. We're going to have to not focus on that and focus on us. That's how we'll get better. Buddy, you're in year three. And anytime anybody starts going after the fans like Dabo Swinney did and Tyler from Spartanburg and refuse to take calls on his show, when any coach ever starts kind of going after their fan base just a little, they're done.
Yeah, I agree. When you start calling out people who are talking about you on social media and how you're not worried about it and can't focus on it, guess what? Tells me that you're worried about it and that you're focused on it and you're not worried about the proper things. And this game, Florida, I mean, Miami went straight down the field, first possession of the game, right through the Gator defense like butter, and scored a touchdown, right? Florida responded with a field goal. Miami scored. Florida kept it close. And once it was 24-10, that was it. I mean, it was over at that point. Miami never looked back. Florida fans were out of it by that point. It was just, it was bad, right? And we had talked on Friday trying to pick this game. It's like, okay, if this is in Miami or if it's neutral site, we're probably going to pick the Canes.
Right.
But we were saying, okay, this is in the swamp, man. This is in Gainesville. This is in a really big atmosphere. And this is a game the Gators have to have if you're Billy Napier. And again, not only did they lose, they got embarrassed. And they played really bad. And that's, you could see that there's talent on that Florida team. But I don't know if I'm more impressed with how Miami played or more depressed with how Florida played.
Because I think it's both.
Miami looked really good.
They looked sharp and physical.
Which it's about time for that team.
It's been years since they have been. And Cristobal, you know, he's been under the gun. He's been a little bit on that hot seat. And had they lost Saturday in Gainesville, he surely would have been on that hot seat once and for all.
But no doubt.
He's going to avoid that now. And it looks like to me he's got a pretty physical, fast football team ready to do some damage in the ACC. Florida has a get-right game this weekend against Samford. Oh, it's Community Day in Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. There'll probably be 60,000 maybe for that one. And then they host Texas A&M. You know, speaking of overblown home field advantages.
Yes.
And I said this in an article last week at RadioFreeAuburn.com. Is there a more fake news narrative that big old money, and they got more money than God out there at Texas A&M, is going to get it done in today's college football world? And you heard the greatest of all time. You can spend all the money you like on players, but you're SOL.
Wasn't that great?
And said it live
Wasn't
on air.
Awesome?
And who's going to check him, right?
Nobody.
Exactly. And if you can spend all the money you want on players. And Texas A&M is a perfect example that it may not work. Because it hasn't yet.
And it could have been a low-key shot towards them. Because, sure. Yeah, they've had more money than anybody. They've got a huge stadium. They hold, what, 105, 110,000 people,
the
whatever it is?
The 12th man and the white towels and the collie running around.
And the guys that
and
scream.
And the Yale leaders. Yeah. And all that. They get more love and respect for all these traditions that don't really make a dang difference in their outcome of football games. And Notre Dame went in there. With game day there and all that excitement and all that positive energy, Notre Dame went in there and midway through the third quarter got physical and shoved it down Texas A&M's throats.
They reminded people that they were a top 10 team. And
they sure did.
They said, all right, we're done with this.
Oh, and the purists were going buck wild on Notre Dame's schedule Saturday night, my friend. You don't know how many texts, phone calls, message board posts I saw. You know, that's why I just go ahead and put them in, Uncle T. They play the easiest schedule on earth. They're not even going to play anybody else ranked this year. And I was like, well, after last night, they are. They catch USC at the end of the season.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I gave Notre Dame props on Friday and all of last week for going on the road and playing a ranked Texas A&M team. Because, again, Notre Dame doesn't have to do that. They could play all the Miami of Ohio's that they want to, and they would still get to the college football playoff. But, and I don't like to do this, but I will, credit to Notre Dame for playing the game and then going in there and winning the game. And A&M had every chance to win it. They blew it. A&M should have won that football game. But Notre Dame decided, we're done.
You know, I don't know if they should have, Jacob, because Connor Wegman's horrible. I've been saying, and this is the kind of stuff that drives me crazy about myself. I've been saying about Texas A&M, Florida, and Clemson all summer long on the airwaves, how overrated these teams are. How they're going in the wrong direction, how Mike Elko's not going to be any good, how Billy Napier's not going to be any good and be fired probably before the end of the season, how Dabo's just gone completely off the reservation mentally about college football, and then it comes to week one, and I pick them all to win because they're all, you know, because I believed in the hype.
You drank the Kool-Aid.
I drank the Kool-Aid, and I got poisoned.
Mm. I mean, yeah, Texas A&M
has been in everybody's top 20 or 25 in every ranking.
And we've had no idea why.
I have no idea why, and I especially after seeing it Saturday night, feel confirmed that I was right and those pollsters were wrong.
More to come here on the Monday edition of On the Line. More games around week one, plus we're diving into Auburn and Alabama A&M as the Tigers get a 70-point win on Saturday. We're halfway through hour number one here on ESPN 106.7.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Some people are off on Labor Day, but not us. We wanted to be here for you, and we appreciate you being with us on this Labor Day. Let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. John in Auburn, you're on the line. Happy Labor Day.
Hey, happy Labor Day. War Eagle, everybody. Hey, I was in Jordan-Hare Saturday night, and I realized in one sentence how much Auburn football has changed.
Okay.
There was a time in Auburn football history that Caleb Burton III was our best up-and-coming receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked at that wide receiver room last night, and good gracious. I mean, the difference you see from one year to the next just with some transfers and some freshmen. I mean, it's absolutely amazing.
Caleb Burton was a guy when he transferred from Ohio State. John, you know this. We talked about it on the show quite a bit on just how excited we were to get somebody like that because of the potential, right? He had not played. I don't think he had played at all or very little at Ohio State. And it was more of the what if, right? What could he be coming out of one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver groups in the country? At Ohio State and the coaches there and everything like that. We know all the pros that they have, but it was the excitement factor on, man, this guy could become really good. And now look at him. No, nothing against Caleb Burton. I said this a few weeks ago, but I just don't think he's going to get all that much playing time because of all the guys in front of him.
Completely agree. Completely agree. And the last point I'll make, I was thinking about it. You know, you got to, I don't think that's the last time you're going to see Auburn hang 30 on somebody in the first half. And
okay.
And I think you're going to have some miserable fan bases from Berkeley or from Fayetteville or from Norman or College Station or Monroe or Nashville, wherever they come from, it's going. And I kept thinking they started alcohol sales in Jordan-Hare for us. It's for the opponent. That's that Southern hot.
I love it. I think you're absolutely right. John, we were losing you a little bit there. Appreciate you calling in. 334-321-1390. And T-Bone will transition into what we saw on Saturday night, where Auburn beats Alabama A&M 73-3. And there's so many things to go over, a lot of obvious things to talk about, right? You've got the offense and the defense and special teams. Where do you want to start?
I mean, let's start with Caleb Burton and the wide receivers. Caleb Burton III. Two catches, 49 yards. That's a good night for him because he was one of 10 people that caught passes in the game against Alabama A&M. One of 10 receivers. The leading receiver, Malcolm Simmons. Should I start just calling him Malcolm Hemmons because he is him, the true freshman from Alex City up at Benjamin Russell High. Three receptions, 91 yards, and a touchdown to lead all Tiger receivers. Perry Thompson has a touchdown. KLS has two touchdowns. Cam Coleman, my man, has a touchdown. Sam Jackson has a touchdown. I mean, it was just a blowout, and it started with Auburn coming out and saying, okay, we're just going to throw the ball around the stadium.
I loved it. I loved the mindset, and that's where I'm going to go. We're going to get to the phones in just a second, but that's what was so shocking to me because we talked on Friday, and most people were this way. It's okay. What's the balance going to be, right? How many times are they going to throw? How many times are they going to run? Freeze has talked about he prefers to be 60-40 and heavy of the run most of the time. Auburn on Saturday just didn't care. They said, to heck with that. We're coming out and slinging it all over the yard, and that's exactly what they did. Peyton Thorne looked very good. The receivers looked good. Everything on that side of it looked good, and we'll have more to talk about that here in just a little bit. Let's get to the phone lines again, 334-321-1390. Shane, you're on the line.
Hey, guys. How y'all?
Doing good, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, I thoroughly enjoyed the game. I have no critiques, but I do have one thing that I observed that if I could – yeah, that's my daughter.
Sounds like she had a critique too, huh?
She did. I mean, it was awesome. Couldn't tell if there was many mistakes except for, you know, Rivaldo. What happened to him, man? He got thrown the ball like seven or eight times, and he missed it all but one. So that would be my only. You know, we didn't really need him, but you know, he was the leading receiver for last year.
Yeah.
And he missed every one. So I'm not really worried about that in any kind of way. But I just thought that it was kind of funny that the anchor guy that, you know, missed all of them, and the new guys, you know, couldn't miss.
And I think that's something for Rivaldo where he'll make up for that and be fine. And that kind of relates to what John was saying before you, Shane, is look at where we are compared to last year to this year. The leading receiver from a year ago didn't hardly have any impact on the game Saturday, and he wasn't even needed, which is so crazy, right?
Yeah, right. And I liked that we didn't run the ball. You know, we already know what we have there, and save those legs. You know, so we didn't need to ground and pound. That's there if that's needed, and it just wasn't, you know, the show anymore than we needed to. Really, we just it looked like we were just throwing the ball like around. You know, it wasn't even like, you know, crazy routes or anything. It was just like stop, go, and.
Mm-hmm. It looked like it was just in the backyard, right? Just throwing around in the backyard. And you're right, because we know the running game's there. The running game's going to be very good. They decided, all right, let's throw it around. Let's see what we got. Let's get comfortable. And Auburn did that very well with 73 offensive points.
Yeah, and I'm glad they shaved off some minutes in the second half. You know,
yes.
It wasn't any really need. That's one thing I love about Auburn is there's no need that we – I've never felt that we needed to run the score up like some other teams have, you know? We're not going to just, you know, we're not going to rub it in. We could have. We could have scored 20 more points.
No, there's no doubt. Yeah, there's no doubt. But Auburn did the right thing.
Where you go, guys?
Yep, appreciate the call, Shane. 334-321-1390.
Yeah, I mean, fair weather with a couple of drop passes. Catching a little bit of crud on the message boards today about it. If that's our biggest complaint after week one, I think we're in pretty good shape. Here's one thing that I noticed, Jacob, I want to get your thoughts on.
Sure.
Auburn's rolling in this game. You know, this never in question. They just come out and start throwing haymakers and going to knock out Alabama A&M early. And I'll tell you one thing I noticed. Hugh Freeze was over there coaching about as hard as he can coach when Auburn's up 28 points. 35 points when someone makes a mistake. And I like to see that. I felt like last year Auburn was just trying to stabilize things and get anything that they could out of this team. They were a fair to average at best football program. This is a good football team right now. And when I see Coach Freeze and the other coaches over there constantly coaching these guys up, even when they're doing good, but staying on them, that's trying to take a program from good to great.
I agree. And I asked Hugh Freeze about that Saturday night in the postgame presser, and I asked him about it this morning in his weekly presser of, hey, because I saw it from the press box, right? I got my binoculars up there because I'm blind, and I have my, you know, and I was looking on the sideline, and even after Peyton Thorne threw a touchdown pass, he jogs off the field, and Hugh Freeze is on him. He is on him like you know what, and just going off on him. And Freeze joked today. He said his wife got onto him today about it. But
he was on Peyton Thorne pretty hard in that first half.
He was. And he did. And he talked about why he did that. We're going to get to Lonnie in just a second. He talked about why he did that. Because, sure, What Peyton Thorne did was okay and was working against Alabama A&M, but what Freeze is trying to do is having Thorne read the right reads and protect himself and make the right decisions when it's better opponents, when it's Oklahoma, when it's Georgia, when it's Missouri, when it's Alabama, where some of those things aren't going to work even though they did this past Saturday. And I love that. I absolutely love that. That's what the great coaches do. They coach harder in a win sometimes than they do in a loss. Even if it's going well, they can still see things to critique. And it's not doing it to be a pain. It's not doing it just to do it because you're the boss. Mm-hmm. He's doing it to make this team better because he knows it's going to take better to beat better teams down the road. Let's get to the phone lines again. They're hot. 334-321-1390 all the way in Lochapoca. Lonnie, what's up, man? Sorry about your Indians Friday night, man. Looks like the Warriors got the better of them.
Yeah, well, you know, it's first game. It's a long season.
That's right.
I didn't really have a whole lot in terms of Auburn. Y'all kind of stole my thunder there at the end. The only thing I was going to mention is how refreshing is it to see a coach chewing out a quarterback for underthrowing a receiver on an actual touchdown?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that what y'all were saying about, you know, him coaching up 30 points and just continuing to coach like that is refreshing to see. But, again, it was Alabama A&M, and we'll find out a lot more this weekend on our team. But I'm not going to make any early week predictions like last week because that didn't bode too well with my LSU pick, even though it probably should have hit. But that I did want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Lonnie from Lochapoca with the lead pipe lock stated LSU. Don't worry about it, Lonnie. I drank that that swamp Kool-Aid served nice and fresh by Brian Kelly.
Lead pipe loser.
By Brian Kelly as well. I mean, and you know, we're not the only ones. I'll tell you first of all, before we get into it, what shocked me about that game more than anything, guys, was how physical USC has become.
I agree.
Because that's the knock on these Lincoln Riley teams. They got great offense, juggernaut offensively, quarterback guru, and he's coached some good ones, but those defensive have been kind of soft. That USC team was physical on defense, Lonnie, and I was shocked by it.
Well, let me say this as far as the coaching is concerned in that game, and I specifically want to talk about Brian Kelly. Does that guy instill a lot of confidence in your minds in the way that he seems like an extremely weird guy. And if you watch the press conference after that, slamming his fist on the table and acting like he was all fired up, like, I just can't see how that guy really is firing that team up. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but he just seems like a strange guy. Maybe he might be a little light in the loafers, kind of the way, if y'all know what I mean there, the way he looked.
I mean, here's my thing with Brian Kelly is he continues to go back to, we got to coach better, we got to prep better, we have to be better, right? But it's like, okay, you're the only one to blame, right? I mean, Brian Kelly's you're the head coach. You can say that you need to be better prepared for game one, but, man, this is an LSU tradition. They've lost five straight opening games. I mean, who else are you going to blame except yourself? And I don't know. Brian Kelly's a really good coach, and he seems like the right answer, but then you see situations like this, and it's like, well, I don't know.
Well, maybe I was one of the few, but I thought before he got hired, I wasn't sold on that hire. I thought, I think he's overrated. I just think he's an overrated coach, and I can't see – just his demeanor is so strange to me. He just seems like a strange guy. But who knows?
I'll say this. Thanks for the call, Lonnie. We really appreciate it. We'll hear from you soon and get that lead pipe locked for this week a little bit later in the week. Garrett Nussmeier played a fantastic football game. 29 of 38, 304 yards, two touchdowns, did have the one interception. Somebody's coaching him up. Right. I mean, I had some question marks about Garrett Nussmeier heading into this season, and he looked like he'd been getting some fantastic coaching to me. Mm-hmm. I think Brian Kelly's a, a good coach? Is he a top 10 in the nation type coach? I mean, that remains to be seen. The fact of the matter is he's had three openers, two against Florida State and one against USC, and he's lost all three. These are the type games that can cost you late in the season a playoff berth, even an expanded playoff. Now, LSU can get it together. They got a lot of talent. The Anderson kid at wide receiver who transcended from Alabama is a player and proved it last night against USC. But how many more of these losses are to open up the season, especially in marquee matchups, are the Bayou Bengal fans going to tolerate?
I got to toot my own horn for a second because somebody called that this game was not going to be an offensive shootout, that it was not going to go over the 66 or 67 points that it was. I called a 31-20 victory for LSU. I didn't get LSU right. I was pretty close on that score prediction, though. 27-20, and the defenses came out playing early, Uncle T-Bone. And you're right, USC played.
They were hitting.
They were hitting hard. They absolutely were. And to be honest with you, it was refreshing to see from a USC team because you just don't expect to see that in this day and age because that's never in the last 15 years that hasn't been USC's – that hasn't been their thing.
Well, it's Pac-10 team, right? Or Pac-12, whatever you want to call it. They get the rap that, you know, no one's playing defense out there. Washington's played a little defense out there, and so is Oregon State. A lot of questions. USC's going into the Big 12. How are they going to hold up physically against the likes of Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State? Looks like they're going to hold up pretty good.
I would say so. And I think now people are going to circle them on their schedule.
Yeah, they got everyone's attention.
Yeah, they did. That's exactly right.
Miller Moss, the quarterback for them, was fantastic.
He played really well.
27 of 36, 378 yards and a touchdown. That guy was throwing dimes into serious coverage. And what was impressive about it was the receptions the USC wide receivers were making. It was almost like they had sticky on their hands. They were Odell-ing balls constantly in that game because he was putting the ball where they could only catch it, and it was a difficult catch. And in critical moments of that game, too, making plays on the outside. Tip of the hat to the Trojans. I didn't see that one coming. And this type of win propels them instantly into the conversation for making the college football playoffs.
Let's get to our final break here in hour number one. We'll come back, wrap it up, get into hour number two. More reactions from week one of college football, talking more Auburn and Alabama A&M as well. Get in on this conversation, 334-321-1390.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate you spending your Labor Day with us on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. We got a few more minutes here in hour number one. I know you guys talked about this heavily on Game Day on Wings on Saturday, but and some people may have hated it. I don't care. The fact that Vanderbilt won their season opener, beat Virginia Tech in Nashville. How about that? The Commies get it going. They get a week one victory. Vanderbilt 1-0.
Yeah, called it Friday. Said I couldn't believe I was going to do it.
God, I know I didn't.
Not only would they cover, that they would get the W.
The outright W.
You got to have some respect for Clark Leaf going out and getting basically half the New Mexico State team that drilled Auburn last year to come up there, led by Diego Pavia.
Who balled out on
that. That guy can play football, man, and he is fearless. The only problem I have is as much as he runs – because he went for 104 yards against Virginia Tech in this past. Somebody's going to knock him out in the season.
Well, that's what I was saying to you
guys.
He
ain't going to make it in November. We're not going to have to worry about it.
They better be careful. That's a legitimate concern for them, for sure.
But they got that Virginia Tech team's been a little bit down in the doldrums for a couple of years. But still, I mean, they're a respectable opponent out of the ACC with a pretty rich history, at least in the last 30 years of college football. And Vanderbilt went toe-to-toe with them. They jumped on them early. You know, they hung in there as Virginia Tech gave them their best shot to knock them out. Got to overtime and just outplayed the Hokies in overtime. And I was very impressed. I was very impressed with the coaching. It was an exciting game. Diego Pavia is fantastic. Who knows what Vandy, where they go from here. But you got to think after getting that W – they're going to get over that 2.5 over under on wins that Vegas gave them to start
the season.
I
think that was the game that it was
the swing
hanging
game.
On. Yeah, that was the swing game. There's no doubt about it. They've got two cupcakes in there somewhere they just got to take care of, and they'll have three wins. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, that was in Cali, man. You saw the crowd Saturday because we watched that game while we were on Game Day on Wings, and the entire stadium on one side and then into the other was all Virginia Tech fans. Mm-hmm. It's just that classic.
Oh,
we're going
know.
To Nashville for the Labor Day weekend. We're going to party and get a W and have fun. And
you know they were upset.
Not so fast, my friend. And Vanderbilt will host Alcorn State this weekend. There's two wins. And then for some reason, they travel to Georgia State. They could, by week three, Jacob, have already covered the Vegas total. Then it gets real when they go to Missouri. Alabama comes to town. They go to Kentucky. But by week three, they could go ahead and have this bet locked up. How about that?
How about that? Well, I don't know. I ain't jumping on them. I've been burned before. They'll lose this week. They'll find a way to drop it. They almost did it on Saturday.
Right before we get to break, they'll come to town, Jordan-Hare Stadium on November 2nd, the week before they're hosting Texas.
Ooh!
It's a nasty little schedule that includes Alabama, South Tennessee, who looked really good this weekend.
Yes, they did. Well, our number one is in the books. When we come back, we're giving our biggest winners, biggest losers from week one in college football and doing a deep, deep dive into the Tigers in a 70-point win in week one. All that coming up at hour number two. Don't you dare turn that radio dial.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on the Labor Day edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate you all being with us. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, lots of reactions from week one around college football. We talked a lot of the SEC games, mentioned a couple of other games outside of there as well, and began to give our breakdown of the Auburn game, the Auburn win over Alabama A&M. Much more of all of that coming up in hour number two, but if you did miss any of the first hour of the show, you can go and you can listen to it as a podcast on our station website at ESPNAU.com. Of course, you can listen to the show live there every single day or in the Radio Alabama app, so be sure that you have that downloaded on your phone. You can get all of our family of stations here at Auburn Networks. You can listen to our high school games there, where Auburn High School got a big win last Friday over Vestavia Hills. Was a little sloppy early, but they turned on the Jets late and ended up with a 52-17 win. The Warriors of Lee Scott went down to Lochapoca, didn't play a pretty game by any means, but they got a squeaked out win against the Indians of Lochapoca, so you can listen to both of those teams play again this Friday. Lee Scott is on the road once again up at Childersburg, so the quick hike up Highway 280, and everybody knows what week it is here. It is Auburn and Opelika. That's right, Auburn, Opelika, the Tigers and the Dogs going at it this Friday over at Duck Sanford Stadium, Uncle T-Bone. It is crazy that it's here, but here we are.
Who
Auburn,
let
Opelika.
The dogs out, man? The Big O coming to town.
Yep, making the long trip.
Historic Duck Sanford Stadium, the
I
Twin
am so
City
excited.
Rivalry.
Ah.
It's going to be a good one. Opelika is a very good football team.
Yes,
Auburn,
they
obviously,
are.
As well. So, unfortunately, I have been to the first two games. Will not make this one. We have company coming in from California. Big time family friend and huge, huge fan of the Cal Bears. will be with us at our live remote. Can we go ahead and talk about it?
Dun, dun, dun.
This Friday at the Plaza Bar, we will be on from 2 to 6, both shows, On the Line and The Drive, brought to you by our good friends at SensaGreen. For air that's cool and clean, call SensaGreen. We'll be out on the Plaza Party Patio. And if you were with us for the live remote the Thursday of the opening day of the NCAA basketball tournament,
that was fun.
You know how we roll, and you better start hydrating now because it was tons of fun, and it's going to be a lot of fun this Friday as well. So come on out to the Plaza Bar, 2 to 6 this Friday, brought to you by our good friends from SensaGreen. This family friend, Jacob, went to 49 straight Cal-Stanford games. He's a Cal alum and was there in 1982 for the play live and saw it in person. So we're going to have to get his thoughts on all that. He actually sent me a book last week that I started reading about that circumstances of the game. So I'll have some knowledge about it.
Hopefully, that's going to be really cool. Well.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited, obviously, for football season to start, but for Cal to come to town. I've never seen the Bears play in person. I'll be inside Jordan-Hare Stadium with my family and friends. So it's going to be a heck of a game. The early line is out. Auburn is an 11.5-point favorite over California, who played UC Davis this past weekend and kind of struggled with UC Davis. Don't know much about UC Davis, but Cal only beat them 31-14, I believe. I'm going to have to double-check that score.
Yeah, they were down at one point in that game, too. It was like 14-13 or something like that. I can't remember. But I think that line opened up at 12
31-13, excuse me. It opened up at 12.5 and
dropped. I think so. I could be wrong.
Jaden Ott, Tiger fans, this is a name you're going to hear all week. The All-American tailback or borderline All-American, one of the best playmakers out of the backfield in college football, 14 carries, 49 yards, 2 touchdowns in that game. He's a special teams threat as well, led the Pac-12 in rushing last year. New quarterback Fernando Mendoza. We're going to go with the Mendoza line. So, Cal's going to be like anybody else. You saw him last year. And they saw us last year. Both rosters outside of Jaden Ott and a few playmakers for Auburn are completely different.
Yeah, and there's a lot to get to with that game as we move throughout the week. But as you said, yes, we will be live ESPN 106.7, 2 to 6 on the line and the drive. Plaza Bar and Lounge, it's in Midtown, all those nice white buildings across from Niffer. So come in and hang out with us. I will say, just to go ahead and start preparing, they are calling for rain on Friday. They're calling for a lot of rain. So, at Plaza, we can set up inside. We are able to set up inside. And if you're unable or don't want to go to the Auburn Opelika game, you can always listen on Wings 94.3. So, just keep that in mind. It's about a 70% chance right now. So,
boy, we need the rain. I'd hate for it to hit Friday. Maybe it'll come on in early Thursday.
I hope so.
Because it is dry as a bone outside. So, it's borderline getting some texts. Got a text from our good friend Crew.
Yeah.
Love some Jacob Goins. Me no Leica, Opa Leica. Just got another one, too. I don't know if you know this song, Jacob, but you better get used to it. Opa Leica sat on a wall. Opa Leica had a big fall. Big time old school rivalry. Opa Leica back in 7A, so it's going to be a region game. Here
that
we go.
That defense is nasty, too, man. They've got some dudes on that team. And I'm excited, me personally. This is my first Auburn Opa Leica game calling for Auburn High School. So I do. I hope the rain holds off. I really do, because Vestavia traveled really well Friday, this past Friday. Obviously, Opelika is going to travel well. I believe tickets went on sale this morning, and if you didn't get them at 9 a.m., you didn't get them. Sorry, that's just how that goes. And so, but
it'll be a packed house.
It will. But if it is raining and people don't go, again, you can listen to the game, Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com, or the Radio Alabama app. And so that'll be coming up on Friday. More on that later in the week. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. We'd love to get your thoughts on Auburn taking down Alabama A&M 73-3, the final score. Tigers get it done in week one. Want to remind you, hour number two is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. You can check them out online at theorthoclinic.com, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. They bring you the 3 to 4 o'clock hour each and every day here on ESPN. And it's obvious, Uncle Tebow and the offense looked really, really good for Auburn. The game plan was simple. We're going to throw the football. We're going to come out throwing. We're going to hit every receiver we can. And the freeze four, they looked pretty good on the outside. They were very active in the end zone Saturday night.
Well, I mean, Malcolm Simmons is in pads, one of the fastest receivers I've ever seen at Auburn. Perry Thompson is just going to be a problem for a lot of people as his career moves forward at Auburn. Bryce Kane was in there as well, didn't score a touchdown, the only one of the freeze four that did not. And then my man Cam Coleman, I mean, what can I say, early in the game, puts a double move on a Alabama A&M DB and is running so fast and is so wide open. Thorne releases that ball almost too late. He had to stop at the goal line and wait for the ball to get to him as a 50-yard strike. I mean, in the Alabama A&M defender was like 20 yards behind him. So tons just to listen. There's going to be times where those kids struggle in this first year, just like any true freshman. But so far, them and several other freshmen already living up to the hype.
Yeah, and you know, we asked Hugh Freeze on Saturday night and today about just the offensive game plan and what they were wanting to do, and he said Peyton Thorne played really well, and I think Peyton Thorne did play really well.
Of course he did.
And made a lot of right reads, and Freeze did admit that the offense, especially with the receivers, was not as advanced as it's going to be moving forward, especially for this week.
Well, that makes sense.
Against a Cal team that he very much respects defensively, but he did say that the receivers played well. They didn't have a whole lot of like running the wrong routes or miscommunication. He said there were a couple of short routes that were routes that were run a little short, but I think overall he seemed pretty impressed with what the offense had to do. But something we alluded to in the first hour that I want to go back to is Freeze coached. He coached hard on Saturday. I mean, he walked into that postgame presser and barely had a voice. And that was in a 73-3 win where he was on people's rear ends the entire game. And there were a couple of times I saw him in Peyton Thorne's grill, buddy. I mean, in his grill. And I love it. I absolutely love it. And you talked about this, and you know who did that? You know who was the best at that for 15 years on the other side of the state? Yeah, that's what Nick Saban did. Do you remember all the videos that would go viral on social media and the internet of him absolutely chewing somebody and the scoreboard 60-0? That's what made them great, right? That's what made them get better every single game, which Auburn has not been doing over the past few years. I want to see Auburn get better every week. That's what good teams do. That's what great teams do. That's what you're supposed to do. And so, hopefully, Auburn can take a lot of what they learned on Saturday and they can put it into the preparation for Cal. But I was impressed with the timing that Thorne had. I was impressed with him and his ability to get the football out, get it out quickly. The deep balls looked really, really good. A couple of them were a little underthrown, but there were a few where they were right on the money. KLS is the one I'm thinking of, streaking down the middle of the field, hit him in the breadbasket, and he jogged into the end zone.
Yeah, that was early in the game. Quick correction over to actionnetwork.com. Auburn actually opened up as a 9.5-point favorite to Cal, and they have this as consensus at several sports books in Vegas and New Jersey. Auburn now a 13.5-point favorite.
Wow.
So John Q. Public took a look at what happened this past weekend with Cal struggling with Cal Davis and what Auburn did to Alabama and A&M. They're jumping on the Tigers early. We'll see about that when the official lines come out tomorrow. Peyton Thorne, 13 of 21, 322 yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, what else do you expect from the guy in week one other than there was one pass, and we're talking about the pass when he came off and he missed. I don't know if it was necessarily the overthrow to KLS. If you look at that play on third down when we didn't convert, and Peyton Thorne comes over to the sideline and Hugh Freeze has the devil in him and is just giving him the business. Robert Lewis had come across the middle and was wide open, just standing there about a yard behind the first down, which I think a lot of people are speculating that's the actual perfect read for that play. And Thorne kind of zoned in on KLS over there to his right like he did sometime last year. And Hugh Freeze was having none of that. And listen, I've met Hugh Freeze a couple of times. I think a lot of other people have too. He's a hell of a nice guy and a good dude. But it's going to be blatantly obvious this season from what I saw Saturday that on game day, you're not going to want any piece of him.
And there was a question today at his press conference, and I loved his response, right? Everybody, we've had these conversations. Everybody wants to know who the starters are going to be. Gosh. Who's the starter this weekend? Who's going to be the starting receiver? Who's going to be the starting guard? Who? And you know what Hugh Freeze said? He said, "Let me be clear. I don't care," is what he said straight up in the microphone, just like I did. I don't care. That's what he said. And I loved it. I loved it because he's not hung up on that. He's not hung up on who runs out there first on the offensive set. He said Malcolm started in quotations on Saturday because they had a play that he needed to be out there for.
Well, there you go.
That's why they did it. He doesn't care about the narratives. He doesn't care what your articles say or what the radio people say or what the TV people have to say about who the starter is and how you can make a big deal about it. If people listen to this show any day of the week, they know we don't care about that stuff either because it's not about that anymore. It's about who's on the field at certain times, that's going to help Auburn win football games. And that's what Hugh Freeze did on Saturday. And I expect him to do that every single week. Whether you are a freshman or a seventh-year senior or a walk-on, doesn't matter. He's going to put whoever he feels is best in the football game at that very moment to help them win. And I love that from Hugh Freeze.
I mean,
and he owns it.
The entire game is exactly what you needed for an opener like this against an inferior opponent. I mean, we blocked a punt and scored a touchdown on it. You know, you had one punt. You know, you had one field goal from Towns, Mick Boomer.
Who went 11 for 11 on the day with 10 PATs and a 30-something yard field goal.
I mean, he had 10 extra point attempts in a game. You know, the punt returning was solid. The kick returning was solid. The few times that Auburn got to return a kick. I mean, what more do people really need to try that? I mean, you really got to pick apart and get deep, deep in the weeds as a fan to have any complaints about this game.
Yeah.
And not as a coach, because it's obvious that these coaches are going to find something to coach up on every play moving forward. And I like to see that as well. I mean, the amount of people that played on defense was staggering. Don't quit worrying about who's starting. The game's changed. Your starter, and you, just because you start doesn't even mean you're going to play more than another guy at your same position anymore, except perhaps on the offensive line and at quarterback.
Right, which is what Freeze alluded to today. He said, yeah, offensive line, that's a little bit different. I mean, we'll have some separation, and that will eventually not change. But, yeah, it doesn't matter on who is the starting safety today or who's the starting middle linebacker. Like, it doesn't matter. He doesn't care.
You know,
care.
And the purists got to know, man. They got to know who starter is, because back in 1958, we had to know who that starter was. But, guys, those days are over. Speaking of the offensive line real quick, I saw a lot of road blocking. I saw a lot of people getting driven to the ground for Alabama A&M on double team blocks as well. That offensive line looks really lean and mean to me.
Yeah, they looked good. They did. And we have to say this, but it's so obvious again. With it being Alabama A&M, I mean, they're by the numbers, they're one of the worst teams in college football. So just keep that in mind. And it is hard to really dive in on this game and say, man, I mean, Auburn blew this play. And, oh, I mean, what happens if that happens this weekend? Like, it's just really hard to do that in this type of game. But I'll say this before we get to break. It was refreshing. It was refreshing to see that Auburn came out and scored two touchdowns in a minute. Like, that was beautiful to see. I don't care if there's no defense on the field. Yeah. Auburn couldn't do that last year. Auburn wasn't doing that a year ago.
They exercised some demons to the end of that last season Saturday night.
Yeah, they did.
That's exactly what happened.
And it was good to see. Yeah. It was refreshing, and I think everybody feels really good about it. You said it really good. The fans should be 100% happy, have no complaints. The coaching staff will never be that way. That's what makes them coaches, and we move on. 334-321-1390. We'll look at some more games from week one and biggest winner, biggest loser. That is coming up next here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Let's get to the phone lines quickly before we do biggest winners and losers from week one of college football. 334-321-1390. Specter, happy Labor Day, man. You're on the line.
Happy Labor Day to you guys. Listen, you know I'm going to tell it like it is, right?
That's right.
I'm going to give this team an A+, all the players, with exception of two, One of them is Mayweather. He's bringing up flashes of last year back.
Fairweather?
Yeah, is that his name?
Yeah. Yeah, Rivaldo Fairweather?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Other than that, Peyton Thorne played an excellent game considering the opponent. If I had to say anything negative about him, he's still looking down his primary receiver. And I think that's what Freeze was jumping down his neck about, because he had a guy wide open. He's continued to throw it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, first game jitters, so on and so forth. Got to do my best. But my biggest game, I want to see what the team does against California. California wasn't impressive in their first game, but most teams, you know, aren't impressive that much on their first game. But the heat's going to be a factor for California because we're playing in the afternoon. So I hope our guys are ready for that.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be quite as hot. It's going to be right now they're saying 84, partly sunny, partly cloudy, which is still warm, but it's not going to be what it was this past Saturday for Cal.
Yeah, well, the temperature is not my concern as much as the humidity.
That's right.
So, but anyway, that's about all I got to say about the test, and I got to get anyway.
All right, appreciate the call, Spectre. Always good to hear from you. 334-321-1390. And, you know, that's what we were saying. I think for most fans, if you want to find a few things to kind of nitpick on, you can, right? Spectre had a couple things. Just, it's more of like a, hey, let's put a pin in this and just to, you know, keep an eye on it. It's like when you go to the dentist, right? And there's no, you don't have a full cavity yet, but they want to just leave a little note on it. They'll check back in it on 6 months, right? Maybe there's something there, maybe there's not. And I don't think there's hardly any of those for Auburn right now. I mean, it's game one against Alabama A&M. There's just not a whole lot to take away from it. So, all right, Uncle T-Bone, it's time. We've teased it long enough.
Okay.
And we're going to have to carry this into the next segment, too, because we're going to go on one here. Biggest winner, and we're going to do this every week. We're going to make this a new segment. It's not a new thing in this business. A lot of people do this, but we're going to have a lot of fun with it. Biggest winner and biggest loser in college football week one. It can be a coach. It can be a fan base, it can be a program, it can be a player, it can be a media personality, it can be whoever. Biggest winner and biggest loser from college football in week one.
I'm going to start on a positive note and get my biggest winner to Kirby Smart. And that guy has just taken crud from everybody for more than just the summer, for about a year on the lack of discipline within his football program. And everyone was saying that loser, I'm not going to say he's the biggest loser, Dabo Swinney, was laying in wait, and he's, you know, just laying in the weeds, and he's about to come out and show everybody what he's got and all that he's all about in college football. And the person who was doing that was Kirby Smart. He took all your blows, haters. He took all your anti-Georgia. They're a bunch of, you know, hooligans over there in Athens, and it's, you know, all they do is race cars and beat up women and get DUIs, and Kirby's not doing anything. He took all that angst and had his team right and ready to play, and that defense he has is going to be one of the better defenses you've seen in college football in years. There is a reason why everybody on game day picked Georgia to win the national championship with their preseason predictions, and they're not only the best team in the SEC, they might be the best team in the NFC South right now, Jacob.
I give a lot of credit to Kirby Smart. I'll be honest, I didn't think he was going to sit ETN. I really didn't, because he hasn't proven to me that he had the guts to do it, right? And he did. He sat one of his best players in one of their biggest games, and what's crazy is it didn't matter. They didn't need him. He dressed and he went through the warm-ups. I think they did that just to allow him to feel somewhat normal, which, whatever, that is what it is. But they didn't need him. And for Georgia to go out and do what they did, yes, they're good. Yes, they're more talented than Clemson.
Had he played, how bad would it have been?
Exactly. And Georgia came out and reminded everybody who they were. The fact that they didn't make the playoff a year ago, that they were disrespected, and that people were picking Clemson to beat them, yeah, they put that to bed real quick. So that is a big winner. I'll give you that. My big winner is Notre Dame. Notre Dame is my biggest winner of week one in college football because I've said this. They did not have to go and play that game. They did not have to go and play a top 25 team on the road in the SEC at night. And they did. Not only did they play it, they won it. And I am not a Notre Dame person by any means. If anybody knows me, they know that. I'm not a Notre Dame fan. I don't respect them for not playing in a conference. Like, there's a lot of things that I dislike about Notre Dame. But the fact that they went down and won a game against Texas A&M, and time will tell on whether that's going to be a good A&M team or not. I don't know. I've admitted that. But for them to go down there and handle business, not look great for a lot of it, but finally decide to kick it in high gear and put them away on the road, I think that's a huge success for Notre Dame. That'll be a win that they can carry with them all season long, and I think they're the biggest winner in college football in week one. There's a lot of winners, but I'm going to take the Irish in Notre Dame.
I've always kind of liked Notre Dame, all the tradition, the gold helmets, Rudy. And they just went into College Station and took – Mike Elko's debut in manhood and said, that's ours.
Yeah,
they poo-pooed real on that. Let's be real about Mike Elko. He was not their first choice.
No.
I don't even think he was about their fourth or fifth choice. And still to this day, I said it then, I'm going to say it now, that's where Dabo Swinney should have gone. He should have got out while the getting was good. And if you don't like all the buying of players and NIL stuff, listen, just let all the rich old men handle it, and I'll just coach football.
My secondary big winner is Mario Cristobal. He saved his job Saturday.
I'm going to say James Franklin.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He just went out there and proved why he's one of the better game day coaches in college football.
And that was a weird game with all the delays and everything, too. They went on the road and beat a scrappy West Virginia team. A lot of people
picking West Virginia to win that game outright.
Yeah, you're right about that. So those are our winners from college football in week one. But maybe the better side of the conversation, who are the biggest losers?
We're about to find out.
We'll talk about it when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
I've got a...
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goetz. We're fired up on this Labor Day, if you can't tell. Week one of college football coming to an end tonight. If you haven't gotten enough, don't worry, there's one more game. Florida State and Boston College. We're going to get to that in just a second. We're giving now. We just told you who our biggest winners were from week one of college football. But Uncle T, you got a list over there. You're still scribbling down your biggest losers of week one of college football. You got to pick one to be the biggest loser. But I know you got multiple.
I mean, this is like a buffet of losers right here. You just dig into. I mean,
and go back for more.
Dabo Swinney, check. Brian Kelly, check. Mike Elko, check. Billy Napier, check, double check. Connor Wegman, quarterback at Texas A&M. Cade Klubnik, that loser. But my biggest loser of the weekend is that West Virginia head coach, Neil Brown. What a loser.
What?
I mean, they were getting all the love in the world. And I switched over there to that Fox pregame show, and they were interviewing him and talking about how the couches might be worn tonight, and they're going to burn in Morgantown after they beat Penn State, and West Virginia football's back, and this head coach, this so-called offensive guru, where I've had Auburn people tell me in the past too, Jacob, we should really think about hiring Neil Brown, Uncle T-Bone. No thanks. Fake news. Their offense was putrid. Penn State went into West Virginia and took their manhood and said, we're going to take it back to State College in Happy Valley. And this so-called offensive juggernaut of West Virginia puts up on the biggest stage and the biggest opportunity that their program's had in a very long time to make a statement, 246 total yards against the Nittany Lions. That's my biggest loser of the weekend. Head coach of West Virginia, Neil Brown.
That game got really weird. There were a lot of fumbles, a lot of turnovers, a really controversial call in that game as well. I mean, just a lot of things happened.
Oh, yeah,
happened
still,
there.
That loser's still talking about it today.
He's fired.
I got to get an explanation. Here's an explanation, Neil. Y'all got beat 34-12, and you scored 6 points in the second quarter and 6 points in the fourth quarter. That's not going to get it done.
Not against Penn State.
It's not the referee's fault. It's your fault, Coach. You were overhyped and not ready to play, bud.
So he's your biggest loser. I've been going back and forth on this a little bit because I have a few that I could pick. But, man, I think I have to pick the obvious one. I think I have to pick Dabo Swinney. I think I do, just because I believe Saturday was the last straw for me as a college football fan, as somebody who talks about it 365 days a year just about. That was the final straw for me that I needed to see where I realized and have accepted Dabo's probably done. I think the game has passed him by. He refuses to change, and he's admitting that he will not change. And talking with some Clemson people over the weekend, they are telling me it's time for Clemson to step up and do something about it. No, they're not going to do it right now in week one. They're probably not going to do it in the middle of this season. But at the end of this thing, if Clemson doesn't make the playoff out of a putrid, horrific, terrible ACC, if they don't make the playoff, it could be time for Dabo to be done in Clemson, South Carolina, which is crazy to think about. But you saw him get out-coached, you saw his team get outworked, and you saw their program be out-talented by the Georgia Bulldogs. And that didn't happen 5-6 years ago when they were winning national championships. But they're not winning national championships anymore. They're not getting close to winning national championships anymore. And for them to have a lot of hype, for him to be talking as much as he did, and for them to go in and not even give the Georgia team a fight, they got beat bad against Georgia. I think it's the biggest loser for me. I really do. I think he proved to me, and I've accepted that I just don't think he can turn it around. I think he's probably done. And that's crazy to say after 1 week.
When people get egotistical and start preaching to you about, like, you know, they know better, you listen to me, I'm bigger than the program, I'm bigger than the brand, and they almost make it all about themselves, is when big tree fall hard, right? The pride comes before the fall. I'm not going to say yet that Saturday was the beginning of the end for Dabo Swinney. I'm not going to accept that just yet because I'm looking over this schedule they got, Jacob, and it is a cakewalk from here on out compared to a lot of other schools. If they don't rally and make the college football playoff, I will say then that this is the beginning of them for him. They get a tough little matchup with Appalachian State this weekend, who's going to give Clemson all they want. Then they get ranked North Carolina State. And then outside of ranked –
who struggled this weekend.
Yeah, who I don't know how they're ranked. They struggled mightily on Thursday night against Western Carolina University, who's never been good. They catch a Florida State team that's ranked for now as a potential at Florida State on October 5th. Other than that, they don't play Miami. I mean, their only other out-of-conference game that's any of anything substance is South Carolina. They're not very good. I mean, they're catching the weaker side of the ACC, missing Georgia Tech and Miami right now, and SMU. If they can't make the college football playoffs with this schedule, it's over.
You mentioned Florida State. And I'm putting a pin in them because they could potentially jump Dabo and Clemson as the biggest losers of week one of college football. Because Uncle T-Bone, I want to make this statement right now, and I truly believe it. Florida State's season is on the line tonight against Boston College. Their season is up for grabs right now. Week one of college football, their second game of the year. Remember, they got blasted by Georgia Tech week zero. Here we are week one. They have back-to-back conference games to start the year. If Florida State loses tonight, how do you come back from it? How do you start 0-2 in your conference? Even if you run the table, the ACC's terrible. and you have a non-conference game with Florida at the end of the year, who's obviously terrible. They're not even going to have a true head coach by the time that game comes
around.
They're
not going to run the table.
Florida State's season is on the line tonight.
Season on the brink, Labor Day.
Boom.
I mean, that's hard to believe that anybody could be in that position, but they are.
I believe it.
And they're going to, you know, Boston College is not horrible. That line came out with Florida State at about 21, 22 points, has dropped already to 16 as the week's gone on. Listen to the rest of the schedule for the Noles after Boston College tonight. Memphis, that'll be a tough game. California, well, we'll find out what they're all about this weekend inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. At SMU, they could lose that game easily. They host Clemson, at Duke, at Miami, L. UNC, at Notre Dame, L. They're not going to the college football playoffs, bud. They're not. Wow. It's not happening.
That loss, I think that loss to Georgia Tech
ended their season.
Looming large. Right now. Looming very large right now.
And don't let them slip up against an inferior team like Boston College tonight or Duke on the road or you know, hosting North Carolina or heaven forbid they host Florida and Billy Napier saves his job, which is probably impossible by now on the last game of the regular season in Tallahassee.
I mean, it's taken a complete 180 for that Florida State program.
That's crazy, man. When the guy unfortunately got injured at quarterback last year, the Travis guy, their program has completely done a 180 since.
Mm. Well, again, those are our biggest winners and losers from week one of college football. We'll do that every week here on the show. Want to flip back to Auburn, and not the game in particular, Uncle T-Bone, but what happened pregame at Jordan-Hare when Auburn was getting ready to take on Alabama A&M. My friend, did you see, I know you said you didn't get a chance to get to the game. I was there in the press box. The amount of recruits that were here this weekend was unbelievable. It was insane. There were 60 or 70 guys all the way from 25, 26, 27. We had 20, 28s here this weekend, Uncle T-Bone. And it was unbelievable to see. Deuce Knight was here this weekend. Naeem Offord was here this weekend. Big-time players came from everywhere. Yeah. Big-time players came from everywhere to see Auburn play this weekend. And credit to the Tigers. They put on a great performance.
I saw a picture on the Twittersphere of Hugh Freeze pregame and all the recruits that were there circled around him. It looked like another little auxiliary team. And they were dialed in looking at him. You could tell he was giving them one type of passionate recruiting pitch and speech. Or, you know, who knows what it was, but they were paying attention.
Yeah.
And people across the nation are paying attention now for sure about Auburn recruiting. There was an article on the Rivals main page today, Fact or Fiction, will Auburn end up a top three class? Now, both of the writers said fiction, but if things do fall the right way, they could do it. This big jump from four into that top three, allegedly. I was almost expecting a commitment this weekend. I can't say really which player, but it just felt like there was so much momentum and positive stories really Saturday morning pregame that something was about to pop. And I think something is about to pop for Auburn recruiting. But, you know, they continue to impress. They continue to bring in top talent. You know, if they keep everything they got and say flip Naeem Offord, it's the greatest recruiting effort in state that Auburn's ever had. Fact.
Don't forget about the possibility of silent recruit or silent commits, right? That's a thing.
Sure.
And I think, and I'm not trying to allude and say if that happened or not this weekend. I'm just saying it happens quite often. And so keep that in mind. But Hugh Freeze has talked about, people can continue to ask him what the message is. And on a day like Saturday where you bring in 60-plus guys and you have a full stadium where the student section stays, where the band's going nuts, the fans were there, and you have an offensive and defensive beatdown, he says, come be a part of this. Come be a part of it. Be the next great guy here at Auburn. Help us continue this and build this, and you can see the difference. And I think for a lot of recruits, Naeem Offord in particular, who have been to Auburn several times and saw the not-so-good times a year ago and compared it to just the one game you saw on Saturday, yeah, you would think that their mindset would be changed a little bit. If they were in the balance, if they were concerned, if they were still trying to figure out if Auburn is a place for them, I think they hopefully were sold on that this past Saturday. And It was a great atmosphere, and it's only going to get better this year.
Well, you know, several of your rivals are recruiting just like Auburn on their opening day, and so many big names were here against Alabama A&M.
Right.
That's a good sign. Like, when you can create that kind of excitement when there's an opponent you should dominate like Auburn did, and the crowd goes crazy, the student section goes crazy, that's a good thing, man. A lot of these guys could have been down at Florida, Miami, and poor old Billy Napier hosted a ton of big-time recruits down there, including a few Auburn commitments. I believe Malik Altry was there. Tavarius Dice was supposed to be there. And it turns out he was just recruiting for Miami with the way they showed out. So I don't think the weekend could have gone any better except for a Deuce Knight flip. Hopefully that's coming. I don't know. I think Ole Miss has decided they're going to get in that arms race as well and help muddy up the pond. But Auburn is locking in on big-time talent with a fantastic pitch and a lot of NIL behind it and a heck of a good crowd and family when they show out like they did for Alabama A&M. So why not? The momentum needs to continue this weekend, and a big win over Cal, do it.
I know we complain a lot about the five straight home games, but that's a huge recruiting boost. That's a bonus that Auburn can use. I mean, you can get as many kids in as you want. You've got big games. They get bigger as you go. The crowds will get louder as they go, and Auburn can really use that to their advantage in terms of recruiting. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Man, happy Labor Day to everybody. Hope you are out there enjoying it, getting ready, and hydrating as well. As tomorrow is a work day, so just prepare for that. Today's been a crazy show, one that I didn't think we were going to have, but, you know, that's how it goes when the two of us get in the studio, Uncle T-Bone. And, man, it's been a lot of fun today. And appreciate everybody being with us here on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of the show, you know where to find it. You can get the podcast on our station website, ESPNAU.com. We didn't have any Jacob Hillman today. Labor Day gave him the day off, so we will pick back up with him next week. And speaking of Jacob Hillman, he is with the Auburn Sports Network, and they are live tonight. Tiger Talk is happening tonight. You can go out and check that out at Baumhauer's Victory Grill. With it being Labor Day, they're still going to go. Still going to have the coaches show. Believe Hugh Freeze will be there. Brent Crouch is going to be there, Auburn volleyball coach. I'm a big fan of his. And so be sure that you either go out for that at Baumhauer's, or you can listen over on Wings 94.3. That starts at 6, so be sure that you tune in for that over on Wings 94.3. And if you missed our announcement, coming up on Friday, we're going to be live on location, another remote where ESPN shows up, and you know it's a party when we do. We're going to be at Plaza Bar and Lounge, 2 to 4 for us, and then 4 to 6 for Bill and Dan. So both On the Line and The Drive, live at Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge. That is brought to you by our friends at Cincy Green Heating and Air. Yes, there is rain in the radar, but we're going to hope that that either comes in early, goes in late, whatever the case may be. Worst case scenario, Uncle T-Bone, we can set up inside somewhere. I'm sure Nagel will get us set up inside.
Yeah, so for air that is cool and clean, call Sensor Green and come on out and have a great time with us at the Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown this Friday, 2 to 6. We having a it's gonna be a rowdy crowd. I got a feeling with California coming to town,
yeah.
Big time. I think Auburn folks got a little taste of what they think this season can be Saturday night against Alabama A&M, and they're going to pack Jordan-Hare and the city of Auburn. Short week, too. Friday will be here before we know it.
Yes, it will. And not only are we live on location for that, not only is it Cal Week, it's Auburn Opelika Week on the high school side of things. So there's a lot going to be happening in town Friday and Saturday, man. It's going to be crazy. So come out and join us Friday night. I will be leaving right after the show. So come say hello during breaks and stuff like that, because I'll have to dip out and get over to the Duck and get ready to call Auburn High football. But yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun coming up on Friday. On tomorrow show, it is Tuesday, so we'll have Lindsey Crosby for our baseball power hour. Braves, they disappointed in Philadelphia this weekend, man. They went 1-for-3, not what they were looking for on the road in Philly. We'll talk to him about that. Christian Griffin will be with us as well, voice of the Lee Scott Warriors. He'll join us in studio as he does on Tuesdays. Wednesday, we'll have Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. We'll also, we'll have Double D, Daryl Dapperich for Double D Wednesdays. He'll be on the air with us Thursday. It's busy, as it always is. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Auburn High's head football coach Keith Etheridge joins us then. And Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. Then a free-for-all Friday out at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. So, Uncle T-Bone, as we have just a couple of minutes, believe it or not, we actually haven't talked about anything with Alabama today. They impressed. They look good. T.J. Finley looked terrible. That was unfortunate to see for him. But he got benched before the half, man. They put him on the bench before halftime hit. And he talked a big game going into that. He said, we're going to show them we're not the Western Kentucky of old. We're not the team you can just roll over. Okay. Bryce Young looked – not Bryce. not Bryce Young. Jalen Milrow looked good.
Right.
Ryan Williams looked good. There was five-star receiver for them. He had a couple of big plays for the Crimson Tide. And, I mean, they did what they were supposed to do. They got a big shutout win, too.
Yeah, I think the only bone I have to pick was I did flip it over there and ESPN showing Jalen Milrow stats after, you know, during the game and after and talking about Heismans and stuff. I mean, it's week one. You're playing Western Kentucky.
I mean, he was Heisman hopeful before the game.
I mean, Jalen Milrow is one heck of a talent and could win the Heisman. He's that talented. But can we please not just go ahead and start pushing those type narratives in week one? Last year after week one, he got benched. And they'll catch a South Florida team this weekend, which they should handle. Have not had a chance to take a look at that spread yet. But that's a solid South Florida team that gave them all they wanted last year under some mitigating circumstances, to say the least. You know, they won't have that same thing happen this year, I don't think. But there's 15, 16 returning starters coming back from South Florida, Jacob.
Alabama favored by 30.5.
Well, that's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points.
Man, if they cover that line... Ooh. You better watch out. Kalen DeBoer's got a lot of weapons to play with in that offense
up there.
I'm
telling you. South Florida beat Bethune-Cookman 48-3 on Saturday. So you're not going to get much from that game. 30.5 points, man. That's crazy. That's a lot of points. And then week three is when Bama goes on the road to Wisconsin, who did not look good in week one.
No, they didn't.
So they're going to have – Wisconsin's going to have to get some things turned around. They played Western Michigan and barely won 28-14.
Yeah, Ryan Williams making a statement in his debut at Alabama as well. The missing piece of the Freeze Five that opted to go to Alabama for whatever reasons. Saw an article on AL.com today said that should they just rename it Hollywood, Alabama instead of Tuscaloosa. Jacob, what do you think about that?
I think we have to go. I think we're out of time here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Uncle T-Bone, always appreciate you, brother. We'll have you back on Friday out at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. I'm back tomorrow, 2-4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. Happy Labor Day. I'll talk to you later.